Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We thank you for joining us on the Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Jesus, also known as the Feast of Corpus Christi. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop.
Yeah, greetings to everyone in the city. This is the feast day of Corpus Christi, and a couple of weeks ago I was with a family, and one of the young kids said to me, Bishop, you know why our city's called Corpus Christi? And I said, no, I do, but I... But anyway, he says, when the explorers came into the bay, they saw it. It was on the Feast of Corpus Christi. So they said, let's call it the Corpus Christi. So I said, wow, listen, look at that. The feast day that we've had for centuries in the church is also a great gift to our city and to our diocese to be called Corpus Christi. It's a very unique, I know for us, for me in the church, when people here ask me where I'm from, other bishops or other people, and I say I'm from Corpus Christi, and they say, is that actually the name of your diocese? I say, and the city.
What an amazing, incredible, blessed, and grace-filled experience we had last week with the passage of the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage through our diocese. It was truly a remarkable event. For those who may have missed it, the masses and other activities are available on the diocesan social media pages as well as the YouTube channel. You can find all those links at diocesecc.org. Bishop, we ask you now to proclaim today's gospel reading.
This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? He sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there. The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin our reflection on today's gospel reading, we notice that the disciples probably realize that as they sit at table with Jesus, this is not going to be an ordinary meal.
Yes, I think the events that surround it certainly point to something that's happening, and the fact that Jesus could tell them where to go and what was actually going to lead them to that room certainly would have them, their minds wandering of what was going to happen tonight. And of course, we know from the other, putting all the Gospels together, that other things happened as well, that Jesus on that night took off his outer garment and washed their feet. The interesting thing, I think, for this Gospel and this moment in Jesus' life, I mean, you can imagine your own self, myself, I mean, I can't imagine. I guess I should say we cannot imagine the intensity of pain and human anxiety, knowing that the end is there and a violent end is about to come. But what really impresses me here is that Jesus is not thinking about himself. He's thinking about his friends. He's thinking about those who will continue his proclamation of love, forgiveness, and so many other things after he is gone, calling them into his service, but doing so as a friend. And so he sits down with their future in mind, not his. That's something that any of us can be so distracted with our own things, our own problems, that we forget our friends, the people that are around us. But as he took the bread and the wine that were part of the Passover celebration, he gave new meaning to it. He gave new essence to it in calling it his body. And of course, we believe through the power of the Holy Spirit that that body is truly present even today through the ministry of the priest ordained in the person of Christ to continue that, not to bring glory to the priest, but to bring glory to God and to bring the presence of Christ in the Eucharist to his friends of today. We cannot live without the Eucharist. The Christian cannot survive without Eucharist, because Eucharist is the height of the expression of Jesus' love, God's love for us, that God humbled himself to become simple bread, simple wine, as a memorial of his death out of love for us on the cross. So the Feast of Corpus Christi is this feast today of the body and blood of the Lord is really the highlight of one of the highlights of our liturgical year, that we come together and celebrate that last moment when he so much loved us. He loved us to the end. There's a beautiful, I don't know how you describe it, but understanding of Jesus' humility, of God's humility, that the first step of humbling himself was to become a human person, that God, the divine, would become human, would reduce himself to that state. But Jesus went even further and humbled himself on the cross so that God gave up his earthly life for us as our Savior, as our Redeemer. So much did he love us. But in between that, there's another act of humble love, and that is becoming bread. So Jesus becomes man, bread, and then on the cross, nothing. When he says, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He emptied himself completely. And that's what love is. Love is completely emptying ourself of self. This is probably one of the most difficult realities for anyone to believe and to understand. But doing it, when a person empties themselves out of love for God and love for neighbor, what are they? They're free. There's freedom. Because anything else is that doubt that we spoke about last weekend when they doubted. They were holding on to themselves. But true love is to not hold on to self, but to give constantly, emptying self. Jesus shows us that as we celebrate it on Christmas, as he becomes human, or better, on the feast of the Annunciation, when he becomes incarnate in the flesh of the Virgin Mary. We celebrate that in March 25th, and then emptying himself on the cross and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But also emptying himself to be preserved for all times in the Eucharist, becoming bread. These are all mysteries, and this is where I was talking about last week of that mystery of transcending ourselves and believing in the power of God through his Holy Spirit to allow these things to happen for us today. If Jesus is our friend, then he wants to be present to us, to feed us spiritually through his Eucharist so that we could do the same. He's not doing it just to console us, giving us his body and his blood, but he's giving us his body and blood through the Eucharist to say, now go and make disciples. Now go and be the same Eucharist for others and serve other people. So all of that is really a call for us today. As a city, I would call all of us who are listening to greater service, to greater emptying of self in service to our people. You know, there are so many people in this community that need help. Just look at the countless homeless people, people that are lonely. That's not something that we can just turn our eyes from, but we need to be in service if we are really to live up to the name Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, because that body of Christ was sacrificed for others. And I think it's a call to us as a city, as a diocese, to do the same and to do it even better than we do today.
And it can start in our own neighborhoods and looking out for our own neighbors and people that are close to us. Maybe the elderly who are living in our neighborhood or close by. Doesn't take too much time to check on them to make sure they're okay and if they need anything.
Yeah, as we hear so often, let's build bridges and not walls. Walls divide us, and those can be emotional walls, psychological walls, or physical walls. But it's to keep ourselves protected from, away from the other person. Jesus didn't protect himself from anything. He gave himself completely in all these ways, coming from heaven, suffering for us on the cross, and becoming bread, true living bread for us in the Eucharist. So this is our mandate and our mm-hmm. challenge today.
And we are so blessed to be living in the city of Corpus Christi.
We are, and it is a beautiful, beautiful name, and we should be proud of it and, as I said, live up to the challenge that it gives to us.
Thank you, Bishop. We will take a short break, and when we return, we will discuss the Word of Life for June. Our Shepherd's View will be right back. We welcome you back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, already the first Sunday in June, and we have our Focolare Word of Life to share with you, focusing on the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God.
Right, this is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 of the Beatitudes, as you said. And I find it a very timely word that we can put into practice, and it's very concrete, that can be lived very concretely. And it's this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. St. Matthew's Gospel begins its account of Jesus' preaching with the surprising proclamation of the Beatitudes. Jesus proclaims blessed, meaning completely happy and fulfilled, all those who in the eyes of the world are considered on the losing side or unfortunate, the humble, the afflicted, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for justice, the pure of heart, and those who work for peace. God makes them a great promise. They will be filled and consoled by Him. They will inherit the earth and His kingdom. This is a real cultural revolution which overturns our narrow and short-sighted way of seeing things. So often we see these categories of people as marginal and insignificant in the struggle for power and success. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. From a biblical perspective, peace is a fruit of God's salvation. It is primarily His gift. Peace is a characteristic of God Himself, who loves humanity and all creation with the Father's heart and who desires harmony and goodwill for all people. For this reason, those who endeavor to bring peace bear some resemblance to Him as His children. Whoever possesses inner peace can be a bearer of peace, Carol Lubick wrote in 1981, in Living City magazine. We need to be peacemakers, first in our own behavior in every moment, living in harmony with God and with His will. They will be called children of God. Being given a name means becoming what the name conveys. St. Paul called God the God of peace. And when writing to Christians, Paul said, "The God of peace be with you all." Peacemakers show their kinship to God and act as children of God. They bear witness to God who has inscribed an order in human society whose fruit is peace. Living in peace is not simply the absence of conflict, nor is it a quiet life in which our values are adaptable so that we will always be accepted somehow. Instead, it is a distinctively gospel-based lifestyle, which calls for courage in making choices that go against the mainstream. To be peacemakers means, above all, creating opportunities for reconciliation in our own life and in that of others, at all levels. First, reconciliation with God, and then with those close to us at home, at work, at school, in parishes and associations, in social and international relations. It is therefore a decisive way of loving our neighbor, a great work of mercy that heals all relationships. Jorge, a teenager from Venezuela, decided to be a peacemaker in his own school. He wrote, "One day, when lessons were over, I realized that my classmates were organizing a demonstration, and they were going to use violence, burning cars and throwing stones. I thought this went against my lifestyle, so I suggested that we write a letter to the school principal asking in a different way for what they wanted to obtain through violence. A few of us wrote the letter and gave it to the principal. Today, it is urgent to encourage dialogue and gatherings between individuals and groups whose history, cultural traditions, and points of view are different. It is a way of showing appreciation for and accepting of diversity as a source of enrichment." Pope Francis said in Myanmar last year that peace is built up by the chorus of differences, and starting from these differences, we learn from one another as members of one family. We have one Father, and we are brothers and sisters. Let's love each other as such. And if we argue among ourselves, let us be as brothers and sisters, who are immediately reconciled and always go back to being a family. We can also find out more about the seeds of peace and brotherhood that are already helping to make our towns and cities more open and humane. We can contribute to healing rifts and conflicts by caring for those seeds and making them grow.
Yes, another wonderful word of life, and definitely applies to a lot of situations in our world today.
Yes, and I would say take every opportunity. I was looking at this one part and I couldn't help but remember very, very vividly back in 1981, where it says that she wrote this about Kara Lubick wrote that we need to be peacemakers first in our own behavior in every moment, living in harmony with God and with His will. I was in Italy at that time, and I think that what they're referring to is a word of life such as this that she had written back then. And at that time, I was in a formation school in spirituality with the Focolare. I spent a year with 60 priests and seminarians from around the world. And being the only American, they don't play baseball and certainly don't play football. So I had to learn to play soccer. And it was funny because, of course, there were two teams, and I was given some instructions I'd never played before. I had no idea, still don't really, how it works. So I guess I was running all over the field, and one of my teammates, the captain from Brazil, took me by the shoulders, and he put me in the middle of the field. He said, "Stand right here and do not move. If the ball comes to you, kick it to one of us on your team, but don't move." I was causing confusion, obviously. So I was very obedient and stayed within my little box there. At a certain point, the game was getting more and more worked up, and there was, I think, a shot that was kicked, and there was a dispute that arose between a Brazilian, my captain there, and the captain of the other team, who was from Korea. And they started, and it became a little bit huffy, you know. Mm-hmm. Sports can do that. Really not violent in anything, because we were all trying to live the gospel together. But, you know, there are moments that even friends can have a dispute. So they were going at it, you know, back and forth. Well, in Korea, we do it this way. Well, in Brazil, we do it this way. Well, you're wrong. And, of course, I know nothing about soccer. But the word of life that month was, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And so I kept saying, well, I'm ignorant about it anyway, so I should just stay out of it. And then I kept thinking, you know, it's not about the game. It's about that we're here together mm-hmm. from all over the world to build peace among ourselves so we can go and try to do that at home. So as they got closer to each other's face and the noses were almost touching, I walked up and I said, brothers, you know, we're here to be peacemakers. That's the word of life. That's God's word to us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for we will be called children of God. And they kind of backed up and looked at me and said, thank you. And they shook hands and never agreed on the rule. But I think it's simple things like that. And I invite everybody in those situations. They're so simple, but it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's our reluctance to act that we don't help build peace. But let's not be reluctant. We can, even if we don't understand, probably it's better we don't understand each side mm-hmm. because we can be neutral. But the gospel is not neutral. It calls us to peace. So I would say, you know, during this month, the month of June, to really step up to the plate and try to just say a word of peace wherever there's conflict, whether it's a conflict among friends, loved ones, major, minor, or even potential. But just let's insert a little word of peace and mm-hmm. certainly to pray for the peace of the world, because we're at that time of deep change in our society, in our world, but we need peace. So let's all be peacemakers of God to fulfill the gospel.
Thank you, Bishop. That brings us to the close of our program. If you would offer a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.